Not a sound to be heard. We pause and remember another silent key.
Victor Kilo 4, Juliet Delta Juliet. Dennis Barr, silent key, April 12. Dennis grew up in northern Queensland and, in his early years, lived in a small community on the Palmerston Range where it rained nearly all year, which made for interesting bus rides on the muddy road to school. Dennis led a life of various jobs on cattle properties, drilling camps, road maintenance work and hotel work, and picked up a range of varied skills with the various jobs. He joined the army, trained as an engineer, did a tour of Vietnam, and was involved with demining and clearing roads, a dangerous task. Dennis, Wayne VK4ARW and VK4MIK, plus a couple of younger chaps, did a well-organised amateur radio course in the early 1990s, which Wilf Booth, VK4ZNZ, silent key, ex-PMG senior technical officer and Telstra foreman, organised and wrote a very comprehensive manual that covered the theory requirements, plus during the course included practical displays to enhance the learning. They were also given assistance in CW by Orb, VK4AFO, silent key, and others who greatly assisted in mastering CW. Dennis developed a great appreciation for CW and, after getting past the exams and licence, he took part in the nightly CW and LSB nets. The group formed into the Tableland Radio Group and did numerous trips away, operating various locations. The group operated from Grassy Hill Lighthouse with the distinctive call sign VK4GHL, and Dennis did much research in building dipoles and loop antennas for the various events, which were always successful, and they also learnt about his latest designs and theory behind same. Many times he had novel approaches. They also did radio operations for the Tableland's endurance horse rides, and Dennis usually manned the base control and he clarified issues such as getting lost or on the wrong track. He had a keen sense of humour and used to have many laughing about incidents that had occurred. On one occasion, Dennis designed a full-wave 80-metre horizontal loop antenna with support post, which was huge, but certainly worked. Dennis was a regular on Rob VK4ARQ's CW net that took place from 0530 to 0630 each morning and had hams from the Darling Downs, Rockhampton, Mackay, Bowen, Townsville and various Atherton Tableland locations, plus Cairns and occasionally others joining in. They got up to some high sending speeds and it was amazing to listen to. Dennis acquired a few different paddles from Italy and other countries. He also enjoyed QRP ops and building various projects to incorporate in his station setup. He did some 2-metre and 70-centimetre operating and was involved with a phased array that VK4MIK was building for 2 metres and got assistance from Wilf. It was a bit of a construction, Murphy, but they got it operating. Dennis was usually a quiet bloke who plugged away at projects and learning and would finally announce what he'd been up to. Many hams have similar attributes. Dennis will be missed. He and his partner Sue and family were nearby at the end. Rest in peace, Dennis Barr. Victor Kilo 4, Juliet Delta Juliet.
From Queensland, this is VK4WIA and the weekly Q News Amateur Radio News Service. The text edition is available by contacting Q News at wia.org.au.
Hello, I'm Jeff Emery, VK4ZPP, and I've been thinking. During the past week, I received an email from the ACMA seeking clients to complete a satisfaction survey. This is a good indication that pleasing the client base is a priority, and I would suggest that we all take the opportunity of spending the 4 to 5 minutes this takes. With the introduction of the class license, people have listed what they see as deficiencies in the material being made available, and here is an opportunity to personally let the regulator know our thoughts. The times are a-changin' was the lyric in an old song, and surely that is true. We amateurs do crazy things such as send each other's postcards when the QSL routes aren't quite what is needed. Now, I'm familiar with the extensive delays which happen with the volunteer-run QSL Bureau, but just to delay things a little more, our not-so-beloved main carrier has introduced alternate-day postal deliveries. This past week, the new regime started on Tuesday, which means we had two lonely delivery days this week. It's perhaps not so important that mail is delayed, but the basic cost of a stamp to send a letter has risen to $1.50, which means that more and more business communications are going to be directed to electronic delivery. This can raise many issues for those of us with physical impairments, and regardless of rules about discrimination, some of these actions just cement the divides in the community. Recently I had to find a supplier of a certain type of antenna mount, and despite my best efforts, I couldn't track down what I needed from local vendors. It ended up being a choice between two of the big international online vendors. The deciding factor was that one would deliver free of postage and the other required me to sacrifice a vital internal organ to pay for delivery. Well, it seemed that way. Well, the decision was easy, and with the help of someone who had an account with the seller, the mount was bought and paid for. It took 9 days for the item to arrive at the front door from the US warehouse, and about the same time for a purchase from a local site to be delivered. It almost seems that our local mail and transport services are reluctant to promote the convenience and often necessary online shopping by the tardiness of their service. Overseas vendors using major online sites are beset by advertised delivery prices that too often dissuade the prudent buyer from a sight unseen purchase. Sadly for the local suppliers to our niche interest, the amateur radio fraternity is small, and the cost of maintaining inventory often can't be justified for the low return it provides. We do have some excellent small businesses dedicated to the amateur market, and often their stocked prices are more competitive than the overseas megastores when freight and warranty costs are taken into account. It's perhaps the subject for an article in the Amateur Radio magazine, just to let us all know who is serving the market for us. I've been told that some vendors feel the cost of advertising is beyond their resources, and a printout with product lines and contact details would be a service to the amateur community. I'm Jeff Emery, and that's what I think. How about you?
From Queensland, this has been VK4WIA and the weekly Q News Amateur Radio News Service. We thank our rebroadcast team and you for listening. And remember, internet text of this news is available by dropping a note to Q News at wia.org.au.